All right, if you have your Bibles with you this morning, I would like to invite you to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And last week we kind of talked about how we could draw closer to God for 2013. And I want to kind of continue that this week, how we can draw closer to God in 2013. And this week, I want to talk about how to put off the old and put on the new. How to put off the old and put on the new. You see, when God saves us, and by the way, we saw God wondrously, miraculously save a soul Wednesday night. Now, if He did it, it was miraculous and wondrous and real. And we'll see the fruit if it was real. But I tell you, that was glorious. But I told my family, now we got to go get this young girl, and it is our duty as the church to disciple her and help her with her new life. One of the worst things the church can do is invite somebody to Christ, lead them to be saved, and then leave them alone. And they flounder out there in the world as a believer, and they don't know how to grow, and they don't know how to read and study their Bible, and they're in this new war with the old man and the new man, and they're trying to figure out, what's this war going on? I thought things were going to get better now that I'm saved, and it's worse. What's going on in my life? And it's our duty as the church to make disciples. So I want to help us this morning as we talk about how to draw closer to God for 2013. I want us to be reminded how we are to continually put off the old man and put on the new man as we begin reading in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. The Bible says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Will you pray with me this morning? Father, in the name of Jesus, will you open our eyes to the truth of your word this morning? Thank you for the great worship we've had. Now, God, feed us through your word. I confess, Lord, my unworthiness to deliver your word. I pray that you would speak through your servant and the focus will be on you, Lord Jesus. And I pray that you would rebuke the enemy even now, Lord Jesus. For it is in that name, the name of Jesus, that we pray and preach. Amen. The greatest change in my life, next to being saved. And by the way, as Nikki and I are learning, and we're, you know, I told you we gave in to Facebook with the commitment that we use that as a tool for witness. So as I was updating my information this morning, I just wanted to put a little bit of my testimony on there. My wife hadn't read it yet, but I named it, "The greatest day in my life was when Jesus opened my eyes, showed me I was a recenter, and God granted me repentance and faith in Christ. That was the greatest day in my life when I got saved." And then I put on there, "The second greatest day in my life is when I met my beautiful wife at a Thomasville football game." That's in there. You'll have to look at it. But I would say this, the next greatest day in my life, next to salvation, was coming to know this truth that we're going to learn this morning from Ephesians chapter 4. To understand this new life that God wrought in us. And that's what salvation is. It's a miracle birth. It's where God opens a person's eyes to the truth and they realize, oh no, I'm a sinner. I'm in danger of hell. I need forgiveness. And God opens their eyes and then He grants them to repent of their sin and place their faith in Jesus Christ. and a new birth occurs. God plants His life within them. That's why you can't deny it when somebody gets saved and God did it. You can't deny it. There's a change in that person's life that can't be described, but doesn't end there. And this is hard. I had a hard time teaching Jacob and Caleb this when they were little. I used to tell them, you can't change yourself. Only God can do it. So I remember when Caleb was little, he just kept on doing bad things. And he said, well, you said God would do it and He's not doing it through me. And then I said, okay, let me change how I'm telling them this. Let me change it a little bit, okay? When God saves you, He gives you the power to say no to sin and live this new life, but you got to do it. The best illustration I've ever heard of it was like you need a couple of trees cut down in your yard and you can't do it on your own, they're big. And so I bring a chainsaw over to your house ready to go and I lay this chainsaw beside one of the trees. You leave that chainsaw there and say, thank you, now the tree's going to get cut down. It won't get cut down until you have the power to cut the tree down, but you got to go start it up and use it, right? That is the thing with the Christian life. God has given us His Spirit to live on the inside of us. He's given us His Word. He's given us His power. He's given us everything we need, the Bible says, to live a godly life. But oh, I want to tell you something. I hope I can get a witness this morning because I'm going to be my own witness if you don't witness with me. Some of you have been Christians for a while. Have you discovered that sometimes you've put the old man to death and thought it was gone and some of your old ways were gone, and only to find out that the old man just keeps coming back to life and fighting you and fighting you and fighting you? What is going on? Can I get a witness? Am I the only one that struggles with that? Amen. Fighting the old man. Can I just tell you, the Bible teaches us this is going to be a fight until the day Jesus takes us home. And I want to encourage you, don't stop fighting Him. Don't stop putting to death the old man and putting on the new man. This is our responsibility. I love the book of Ephesians. The first three chapters teach us our position, who we are in Christ. The second three chapters teach us our practice, how we are to live this new life. The first three chapters deal with what God did to put us in the family of God. The second three chapters deal with what we're supposed to do now that He saved us. And so we pick it up in verse 17. And I want us to understand this morning two truths. Number one, every Christian has the responsibility to put off the old man, our former ways. Now notice verse 17. The Bible says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. Let's just stop right there. Now let's talk about the word walk. That word walk does not mean when you get up in the morning and go for exercise walk. That's not what that's talking about. That's not talking about when you get up in a little bit and walk to your car. That word walk in the Bible refers to our lifestyle. And so the Bible is teaching us, now that God has saved you, this is how you're to live your life. That's what that means. Now notice what he says, we are no longer to live our lives like this. Now these next few verses describe people who don't know Jesus. These next few verses describe the lost. And if you're a believer, it is your responsibility not to live like that anymore. Don't live like they do and don't live like you used to. That's our responsibility. And he lists a few things here. And I'm reading from the King James Version this morning. New King James is right there with it. But if you look in verse 17, how are we not to live our lives? Well, if you see, first of all, there in verse 17 at the end, in the vanity of their mind. What does that mean? Lost people live their lives according to the emptiness of their minds. They don't have Christ. They don't know the truth. They're blinded to the truth. And so they're living their lives. They're living their lives thinking that satisfaction comes from this life. And so you see lost people turning to everything but Christ, to drugs, to alcohol, to relationships, to clubs, to socials, to psychics, to gangs, to date groups, to money. And their minds are empty, the Bible says. Vanity. They're looking for fulfillment, but look how empty they are. Their search is futile. And then he says, we're not to live like that in the emptiness of our minds. And then he says, we're not to live in the way that the lost people do. Look at verse 18. Having the understanding darkened. What does that mean? Futile minds. It means that their understanding of the truth is darkened. Now this is a result of sin coming into the world. The Bible teaches in Romans chapter 1, 2, and 3, the depravity of mankind. We are depraved creatures. We're full of sin because of our great-great-great-great-grandpa Adam. He passed it down to us. We pass it down to our children. That means in the natural sense, without God, our understanding of the things of God is darkened. People who don't know Jesus don't have the Holy Spirit. They don't have this new life. They don't understand spiritual things. That's why if you look in 1 Corinthians 2:14, the Bible says the natural person cannot even understand the things of God. So let me just explain this to you. If you have family members or friends that are lost, they're not yet saved, don't take the Bible and try to show them how they should be living and what's wrong, because they're not going to understand it. We need to pray that God open their eyes to one truth, that they're sinners and they need to be saved. The Bible says the natural man can't understand the things of God. I remember when my wife, Nikki, was trying to talk to an old friend several years ago, trying to tell her about Christ. Blinded. Just wouldn't hear it. How many of you have ever tried to talk to a family member or a friend about Christ and it's just like a blank face? It's like you want to, have you ever just wanted to grab somebody and say, don't you get it? Don't you understand the free gift? Have you ever done that? I have. I've wanted to do that before. I've shared and shared and shared with people and they just don't get it. Why? Because the Bible says the enemy has their minds blinded. And we're not supposed to live blinded to the truth. And that's why unbelievers will never understand us and why we live the way we do. But notice the next way we're not supposed to walk. If you look in verse 18. Being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. They're alienated from the life of God. This is a picture of people who don't know Jesus. Separated from God. Ephesians chapter 2, 1 says lost people are dead in their trespasses and sins. And so how can someone tell you I'm saved and I know Jesus, but I'm still living in continual darkness and sin? That person does not know the God of the Bible, or they would be convicted of their sins. And the great thing is this. That when we are saved and we do try to go back in those sins, God won't let us stay there long. He won't let us continue because He'll come after us with the hounds of heaven. But it's because of the ignorance that's within them. It's because of the blindness that's in their heart. We ought to pray for them. And look at what it says after that. Verse 19. Who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. What in the world does that mean? They've given themselves over to uncleanness, sensuality. They have no feeling anymore of their sin. They've become calloused. Their conscience has been seared. The Bible speaks of that. Any of you ever tried to play the guitar? Okay, me too. Yeah. You know the hardest thing about becoming a good guitar player, the hardest thing for beginners? Getting through the finger soreness. If you can get through the finger soreness, you're halfway there. Because if you keep playing, oh, it hurts. But if you keep playing, after a few weeks of playing continually every day, you get calluses on your fingers. And you don't even feel it. So guitarists who've played a lot play the guitar and they don't even feel it. Their fingers have become calloused. People who don't know Jesus just sin and sin and sin, and their conscience and their hearts are calloused. They don't even realize it. What a sad picture. What a difference between the old man and the new. Notice verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. You know what that's saying? If you're really saved, if you've been taught of Jesus, if you've heard him and been taught of him, see, if you're saved, Jesus came to you and he saved you. If it's just some decision that you made, it's not real. But if you really heard the voice of Jesus, I mean, not audibly, but when you got saved, you really heard Jesus and you were taught in him. If he's the one who saved you, you know you can't say you know him and still live like that. You can't. It doesn't fit, like Charles Stanley says, it doesn't fit who you are anymore. One of my favorite quotes by him, and I say it so often, and I'm going to say it this morning. He said, you know why I don't browbeat you and tell you, you need to give up this, give up that, stop doing this, stop doing that. He said, you know why I don't do that? He said, first of all, you wouldn't pay any attention to it, which is true. He said, but secondly, you fall in love with Jesus, you'll get rid of it. I love that. He says, because you fall in love with Jesus, it won't fit you anymore. Now, I've got this old letter jacket in my closet at my mom and dad's house. You ought to see me put it on today. It's not a pretty sight. It don't fit anymore. It don't fit at all anymore. I mean, that was 5 years ago when I tried it. I don't even know if I can even get it on today. That's how bad it doesn't fit anymore. If you look at what our responsibility is as believers, verse 22 says, you are to put off concerning the former conversation. That means your old way of life. The old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. When an old coat doesn't fit anymore, put it away in the closet and don't ever put it on again because it doesn't fit you anymore. That is what the Bible is telling us right here as believers. We're not to live like that anymore. And if you have been saved by Christ, as these verses say, you know that repentance comes with being saved. And not only when you get saved do you repent of your sins, you turn away from them, but repentance becomes a continual lifestyle for the rest of our lives as a believer. Because you and I are going to struggle with the old man. We're going to fall back into sin. And it should be our continual life. 1 John 1:9. You might as well memorize 1 John 1:9 if you're a Christian. You might as well commit it to memory today. So go home and memorize 1 John 1:9. And to memorize something, you haven't memorized something until you can't forget it. So I want to challenge you, memorize 1 John 1:9, because that's going to be a prayer for the rest of your life, right? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
Amen. Might as well memorize that, because you're going to be quoting that the rest of your life. It's not a license to sin, but it's the forgiveness that Christ bought for me on the cross. And every time I sin, I'm reminded, oh Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I don't want to do that again. Lord, you've said if I confess my sins to you, you'll forgive me and cleanse me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Have you put off the old man? You can't profess to know him and keep living like that. If you really know him, you've repented of your sins and you're continually confessing and repenting of your sins. Are you doing that? Do you understand? Let me give you one more illustration and I got to move on to the second and last point. We had a couple of couches in our living room that we've had for many, many years. I guess about 10 years. The blue couch. Some of you who've been at my house remember the blue couch. My favorite couch, because I love to sleep on that couch. It is so comfortable. That thing got holes in it. The white stuff was coming out of it. It's been torn. It's raggedy. It's nasty. It might even stink. I'm not sure. I guess I'm used to it because I've been living there. I don't know. Nikki finally talked me into getting a new couch for our living room. I couldn't give up the blue one. And so what I said was, we're going to have to take that blue couch, put it down in the basement. Y'all can lay on this new couch. I'm going downstairs and laying on my blue couch. Okay? Now I'm going to come back to that story at the end. If I forget, raise your hand and tell me, okay? Because what ended up happening is I ended up putting that thing on the truck and taking it to the Goodwill. It's gone. And I just want to say to you that it is our responsibility to take our old life and ship it away. And we got to do that daily. Put off the old man. Secondly and lastly this morning, I want us to see how it is every Christian's responsibility to put on the new man. Now, notice what the Bible says in verse 23. When you put off the old, you got to put on the new. Verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. That's what we have to do. That is our responsibility. To be renewed in the spirit of our mind. What in the world does that mean, to be renewed in the spirit of our mind? Well, that simply means this. Satan's out to deceive you and make you think he's more powerful and that you can't ever have victory over sin. I'm just going to tell you that. If you're a believer, Satan wants to make you think, forget it. You'll never beat it. Okay? Sin begins right here in the mind. You ever been in church really wanting to worship God? And some wild thought comes in your mind? And you're like, where did that come from? You ever done that? I have too. You ever been somewhere and this wild thought comes in your mind of committing some sin and you're like, why is that in my mind? That's Satan planting thoughts in your mind. And here's the deal. The moment you begin to entertain that thought, you're a sunk duck. The moment you begin to entertain that thought, you're a goner. You start thinking about it, you'll start considering it. You start considering it, you'll start planning it. You start planning it, you'll start doing it. It's in James chapter 1, by the way, if you want to go see that. I just paraphrased it a little bit. That's how sin works. And it ends up leading you to death. So we renew our minds. And how do you renew your mind? Can I just tell you this morning, if you want to take a computer, everything you put in that computer's database is there. The only way to renew a computer is to wash it clean and put new things in it. The only way to renew your mind is get rid of the old and put new things in it. Now, if you want to watch TV a lot during the day and listen to iPods with worldly music on them and hang around friends who don't know Jesus and read books or material that's not about Jesus, you're filling your mind with the world's ways and you're sunk. But to renew your mind means to turn off the TV and read the Word of God. And I need to do this more. To renew our mind means to get in the Word of God. Read God's Word. Renew our mind. Saturate it. Romans 12:2. Don't be conformed to this world, but be renewed. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And so here's what we do. The Bible says, put on the new man, which is created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That is, if God has saved you, He's created within you His life. He's there now. And so what we're supposed to do is renounce our old ways. Put off the old man. You know what that might mean? That might mean canceling the internet if that's a temptation to you. That might mean canceling cable for you. That might mean getting rid of some old friends. But get rid of it. Put off the old and put on the new. And notice what the Bible says. Put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness. He gives you some practical steps in the next few verses. We don't have time to expound those. But just notice what the Bible says, verse 25. Here's some practical ways now that you're saved. You used to lie. All of us do. We're born liars. The Bible says that in the book of Psalms. Stop lying and start speaking the truth. That's how you put off the old and put on the new. You couldn't do that if you're not saved. Okay? Verse 26, be angry, but don't sin. It's not a sin to be angry. It's a sin to sin in your anger. You used to get mad and sin. Now get mad and don't sin. And look, don't let the sun go down upon your anger. That means if you get mad, don't let it fester into the night. Because you know what happens? If you let anger fester in your heart and mind, verse 27 becomes true in your life. You're giving place to the devil. You're just giving the devil an opportunity the longer you let anger fester. If you used to steal, don't steal anymore. Now work for what you get. Don't let bad words come out of your mouth, verse 29. But now use your mouth for good things to edify people. Do you see? This is now how we're to live our lives. This is putting on the new man. So I want to give you a challenge for 2013. Not only last week do I challenge you to draw closer to God from James chapter 4. Draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to you. And we do that by resisting the devil and repenting of our sins, continually repenting and coming close to Him through prayer and reading His Word. I challenge you to do that last week. I challenge you this week. Let's keep fighting the old man. Let's keep putting off the old man and putting on the new man. As believers, we can. If you're not a believer, you can't do this. The Bible doesn't even tell you to try to do this. If you're not a believer and you try to start living like this, you're trusting in your own good works to save you, and that won't work. But if you're a believer this morning, God's given you His Spirit, He's given you His life, He's given you His power, He's given you His Word, He's given you His church, He's given you His ministers, He's given you Christian friends, He's given you everything you need to live a godly and a new life. It is your responsibility to do it. So if you got an old coat that doesn't fit anymore, put it in the closet and get a new one and put it on. If you're saved, put off your old ways and start living the new life that God saved you to live. You might have to get rid of some friends. You might have to get rid of some Facebook junk. By the way, young people, hello. Internet, listen to me. I love y'all. You love me. Facebook is a good thing if you use it for right, but it's also a place where true colors shine forth. We can learn a lot about each other through Facebook, hello. We can see what each of us really likes if we look at Facebook. Facebook, amen. Thank you, Lord. You're using Facebook as accountability, and we didn't even know it. So I'm not your judge, but I can go look on your Facebook if you allow it, and I can see the things you like and the things you say and the pictures you have. Did y'all ever think about that? Yep. The pictures you put on there, your preacher can see. Okay, enough said. More importantly, the things you do in your life, God sees all the time. That's so important. So you might have to go clean up your Facebook today. You might have to go get rid of some friends this week that are causing you to be pulled down. Put off the old, put on the new. What about that couch? Why did I haul it off? I love that couch. Here's my mentality. You can get a new couch. You can have a new couch. I'm sleeping on that blue couch. I'm laying on that blue couch. Nothing's going to feel as good as that blue couch. Till the new couch came in and I got on the new couch. And I said, whoa, I like this better. Goodbye, old couch. Hello, new couch. Hello? You keep living in your old life. And you think it's fun, but if you'll just live the life God has for you, you'll never want to go back. But it's going to be a continual fight for the rest of your life. I read Charles Spurgeon's quote this week about the old man. And here's what he said, and I quote. He said, one of the best men I ever knew said, at 80 years of age, I find the old man is not dead yet. Our old man is crucified, but he is a long dying. That is so true. We're going to have to fight. The old man's still there, but we have the new man if we're saved. You say, well, preacher, please tell me before I go home, how can I be sure that the new man gets the victory? Well, picture a dog fight, and you're raising up two dogs to fight. Which one's going to win the fight? The one you feed the best. Which one's going to get the victory in your life? The old man or the new man? The one you feed. You feed the old man with old friends, old thoughts, TV shows, junk. The old man's going to get the victory and you're going to live in defeat. You feed the new man by spending time with God, reading His Word, listening to sermons, worshiping with old Charles Billingsley, and feeding the new man, the new man's going to get the victory. Amen? And I'm praying that for you and for me for 2013, that we will live out this life that Jesus died for us to live. And if you're here this morning and you don't have this new life, I just want to invite you to give up trying, turn from whatever you're trusting in, turn from your sins, and call on the name of Jesus this morning, and He'll save you. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved." Would you transfer your trust this morning to what you're trusting in, to what Jesus has already done for you? I want to invite you this morning, on the internet, in this church, if you would just simply say, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. I give up. I know I deserve hell. I deserve your punishment. But Lord Jesus, I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again for me. I don't know why you would do that for me. But Lord Jesus, as best I know how, I'm repenting of my sins and I'm coming to you. And I'm going to trust in what you did for me at the cross. Jesus, please come in my life and save me." If you say something like that from your heart right now, He'll come in your life and He'll save you. Let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for anybody who needs to be saved that right now you would save them. Thank you so much, Lord. Lord, I pray for those who are living in defeat, though they're saved. Lord, I pray that you would help them this morning be encouraged to put off the old ways and put on the new. Help us to feed the new man, Lord, with your word, with good sermons, with good Christian fellowship. Lord, thank you so much for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen.